The Bright Side Home Theater Podcast is a spoiler podcast. The opinions and reviews are solely those of the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. It's week one of 2020, and wow, did I have a good week in my theater. I had a blast. I watched three movies this week. I watched Batman v Superman, I watched Brightburn, and I watched Alita Battle Angel. We'll get to those in a little bit, but I also pretty much binge-watched two Netflix shows. And I say pretty much because I was in the middle, or I had started The Witcher at the end of last week and finished it out this week, doing one episode every morning. But on Sunday, I had noticed that Dracula had dropped the day before. It showed up on my Netflix, said, you know, new content or whatever, thought I would enjoy it. And I had seen Martin from the Nerdy Legion talk about it, and John, my buddy, would. They were tweeting back and forth. John, my co-host over at Brightside Chat, they were talking about it on Twitter. So I checked it out, and I had said to my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to start this. If I think it's any good, I'll stop it and we can watch it together. Well, I didn't hold true to that. I had so much fun with it. I just kept going, and I watched the first episode. And then the next day, I watched the second episode, and once you start the second episode, I can tell you pretty much you're going to at least want to start the third episode. But how does that pertain to home theater? Well, the streaming services are doing a great job with the sound. I have to say they're some of the best sound, consistent sound effects are through these streaming services, and especially Netflix, because I think they understand their limitations with, you know, everything being compressed. So they're designing their soundstage accordingly. And watching Dracula, it was really, really good. The sound in that, it's through the entire three episodes, and each episode's an hour and a half long. It is a very engaging sound mix. That's just a lot of fun to sit down and enjoy just the sound mix alone. Obviously, if the content isn't very good, then the sound mix doesn't matter. So the content has to be good. But I want to talk about the sound mixes because obviously the picture is under limitations with compression. Your black levels aren't going to be the same. You can't have the HDR that you can have with physical media through streaming. When that catches up, that's all we'll be talking about. I think when everything can come through streaming services to the same quality as physical media, that's the day I think physical media will go away. But that's not for a long time, because I think physical media will continue to push the envelope on how good the content is too. But the sound in Dracula, there were so many good little noises here and there that it was just so much fun. There's a scene that they're sitting at a table and the pans from left to right are really, really good. There's some surround sound scenes that are really good. Both The Witcher and Dracula are in Atmos, and it's not the same Atmos as what you get in your physical media. It's compressed. It's probably equal to like Dolby Digital as opposed to Dolby True HD or Dolby whatever. But Netflix has been doing this for a while. I think back to the Daredevil, the first season, and some of the sound scenes in that one where, if you've ever seen Daredevil, the first season, there's a scene where the action goes around outside a taxi cab. And so everything goes right around the room in the direction that it's happening. And of course, the hallway scene where action's happening on both sides of the hallway. Again, if you know Daredevil season one, then you know that's called the hallway scene. Everybody knows that scene. That was the first time I was like truly impressed with the streaming services sound mix. And that was in just 5.1. And now that they've added Atmos to most of their content, Netflix is really, really shining in the sound department. I did spend a lot of time in my theater this week. I was hoping to get to Joker. I bought it on Tuesday. I haven't even had a chance to open it. I've been busy with everything else in my theater. That's how it goes. I'm not complaining. It's not a bad thing. I'll get to Joker. Hopefully I'll get to it for next week. Next week we have Gemini Man coming out. I'm dying to see that. But I never know. It's like, gotta see what strikes my interest, what I wanna pop on at the moment. I don't know. I know I'm pretty much done with streaming. I'm actually looking for ideas on something I could stream, something that'll catch my fancy. And I know I also want to do, there's some commentaries I want to check out, but we'll see next week when we get to that. We'll have to, you'll have to tune in next Friday to see what I did. But enough talk of what's going to happen or not happen next week. Let's talk about what we did this week. I just decided to do this one on a whim. I've been watching The Witcher on Netflix, and I guess watching Henry Cavill, just really wanted to see this movie. I went into my collection and noticed I didn't own it on 4K, so that got me going. I'm like, oh, gotta find it. Went on Amazon, clicked on it. It was here the next day, threw it in. Haven't seen this movie in 4K, clearly, because I haven't owned it in 4K. Batman v Superman in 4K. I've seen it in Dolby Atmos, and that's why I didn't have it in 4K, because the regular Blu-ray came with Dolby Atmos. So at the time when I bought this, I had no intentions of having 4K at the time. I think this was fairly early on, so I just bought the regular Blu-ray because it had the Dolby Atmos in it. The 4K, the HDR on this is the type of movie that was made for HDR. Everybody considers most of the DCEU universe dark. They don't like it. They think the movies are too dark. It should be brighter because Marvel's movies were so bright. Well, with HDR, this movie looks, I think it looks fantastic. I had so much fun watching this movie. The score by Hans Zimmer, the opening scene, which is basically the end scene of Man of Steel, the explosions, the reenacting of this scene and being able to see it from a different perspective. The whole thing, you just jump right in. The whole thing was so loud. And I'll be honest, I only put this in to jump around and watch a few scenes of this movie. I ended up watching the entire movie. And this is the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition, which is 3 hours long. I don't remember how long the original is. So it's got to be a half hour longer. But the way this movie sounds, the way this movie looks, it's just so, I just got engrossed in it. The opening scene, you see Superman going across the sky and he's a little speck in the sky, but with the HDR and the way the colors can pop, you can really make out his cape, the blue of his suit. It just really, that really jumped out to me at the beginning. But then as the movie went on, the HDR at the end when he's in space, and it's all black and the stars and everything, the twinkles. It just looked so, so good. But the sound from beginning to end, I mean, the bass, there was tactile feel to this movie almost throughout. Whether it's the score, the explosions, the gunfire, it was just so much fun that I just couldn't stop watching. And I'll be honest, I haven't watched it in a while. It's not one of my, it's not an absolute favorite movie of all time of mine, but it is a fun ride. And if you haven't watched it in a while and you could sit down and really crank it up, it is a blast to watch. The end scene, they end the entire thing with the casket, the shot of the top of the casket and the dirt about to lift. And they end with this sound, the bass sound that the room just vibrates. And it was just from beginning to end, it's just, you felt this movie. It felt so much fun. And in contrast, there's the quiet, quiet scene in the Capitol. Right before the bomb goes off, Superman's looking around the room. I think the senator, whatever, she's speaking. but it is so quiet. You can literally hear a pin drop because you can hear people shuffling papers in the background, off in other channels, all around the room. You hear noises of whether it's people whispering or, like I said, a shuffling of a paper over here or somebody moving a chair over there. But it's so, so quiet. And obviously, having seen the movie before, you know what's about to come. But it's just so, so good. Like I said, that contrast just before the explosion goes off. And then when the explosion goes off, you have all of the fire around the room, and you're seeing Superman stand in the middle of it. And of course, the final battle was amazing. The sounds, the colors, the final kill when Superman finally kills Doomsday, and the colors shimmer off. You got the greens and the reds and the blue and the back. It just looked so, so nice. And one of my favorite scenes of all time in all movies, when Wonder Woman drops in and that music comes in. I remember seeing that in the theater. I wanted to jump out of my seat, and it still holds now. I know it's coming, and you're just excited to see it. The way they did it, the drop in, the music. This movie was just so much fun, so much fun. I'll probably watch it again sometime soon now that it's fresh in my mind, but we'll see. Okay, this next one I've been excited to talk about, well, since the start of the movie, since I put it in. The week before, I dabbled a little bit, or last week, I dabbled a little bit with 3D, and I wanted to watch this movie in its entirety in 3D, and that's Alita Battle Angel. It was so good. It was so much more than I even expected, and that's tough to say, because my expectations for this were, well, I really liked the 4K version. I really enjoyed the surround sound, so I knew the 3D would be good, but once I put this in, I mean, most of this movie is CGI. So, I mean, almost like 95% of it is CGI. And then you have a few characters in there that are in front of it. So that lends to a lot like Avatar, where they can manipulate the environment so well. And it really, really helps out with the 3D images, because they can manipulate the colors the way they want to make them pop. That's why I think this movie looked so good in 3D, and why it really is a standout. And granted, I'm new to this 3D thing. I've been wanting 3D for years. It's just something that in my theater, I knew with a big screen, it would be more immersive. I get it. If you have a 55-inch, even a 65-inch 3D television, most people don't think it's that great, because you're really looking into a little window, and it is 3D, and I've seen it. It looks good. It's 3D, but it just doesn't give you that theater environment like when you went to the theater and saw 3D. I saw Jaws 3D in 3D, and that was with the blue and red lenses, and it's gimmicky, but there's a reason it's gimmicky, because it's different. It's fun. And getting this into my theater for the first time in ever. I've never had this, and I've always wanted it, and this projector had it, and I even delayed setting it up because I thought it would be a little bit more complicated, but it really wasn't. And you know, you just connect the glasses and you're off and running. Glasses are fairly comfortable, but whatever. But Alita Battle Angel, and it has the 3D version, is actually in a DTS 7.1 mix, so the sound was really, really good as well. And what I found is, and what I'm finding is with the 3D, is it actually enhances the sound, because now your eyes are working with your ears. So your eyes are working with depth perception. And as noises are happening within the depth, your ears are more attuned to listening around the room. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you're biased because I'm biased because I think I'm enjoying it so much more, but I'm hearing things that maybe I didn't hear before. I've only seen this movie a couple of times in the theater before this, so I don't have a lot to go off of. But what I do know is this, it blew me away. I mean, the detail in the faces. Looking at Jennifer Connelly's character, Sharon, and she has that stone in her forehead. The texture and depth that you can see around the stone in her own skin, it never was there before. Or if it was there, it didn't jump out at me enough to be able to say, like, wow, I can really see that. The labs, all the tech, the computer screens in the background, the holograms of the computer, you know, like the Tony Stark type stuff, all of that, the halos and flashes of light across the screen, the texture of the environment, if there was dust in the air, they showed that off. The depth that this movie showed was so much fun. The woods scene when Alita's running through the woods before she gets to find her, you know, battle body, before she jumps into the water, which I haven't watched Avatar yet. Very much looking forward to that. And I'll get to that in a second. The colors. I thought the colors in this were fantastic. A lot of the criticism with 3D has been, and again, I'm reading this over the years. It's like, well, it's darker, it's this, it's that. Well, yeah, it definitely is. I can see that. I concede that. But it's a compromise. You know, it's a compromise in a different take on a movie. And when it's done well, like Alita was, it really enhances the enjoyment of the movie. Is it as bright as a 4K HDR version? No. But there's details you can see in a 3D movie that you just don't, that just don't pop out at you. Maybe they're there in a 4K version, but you're not looking at the background. You're not looking at that tool bench in the background that now you're, because it's 3D, you're more engaged in the movie, which is heightening everything for you. Where, yeah, no kidding, you can't reach into the movie, but your eyes can. Your mind can go back there and look and go, what is that on the bench back there? There's stuff that you're not going to see in a 4K version because, yeah, it looks good. It just, you're not drawn to do that. But yes, where it's lacking brightness, I get that. The colors still jumped. The colors still looked really good because you have that highlights to make it 3D. The stuff in the foreground is going to be brighter than stuff in the background. The other thing I noticed is, whereas if you're looking at a 4K version with streaming or anything else, if the black levels aren't there or they're being crushed because you're streaming, you're going to notice that things seem to be grayed out and it's a flat image and it doesn't look as good. Well, this isn't HDR, but it's 3D. A lot of that grayed out image is kind of just like light shadow, light shooting across the screen, creating that depth that you don't get in a 2D picture, even if it is in 4K. Okay, the only drawback to Alita Battle Angel in 3D is the 2:39:1 aspect ratio. I feel like that if it was in like 185, the full 16:9 screen almost, it would have been better served. I think every 3D movie is better served with that aspect ratio. Just because when you have the bars at the top and the bottom, and I have masking, so the masking helps because it takes away, there aren't any bars. You just have, it's a more immersive experience. It helps with your black levels in any format, 3D, 4K, whatever. But I feel like in a 3D, it feels like you have the window only cracked a little bit open. Like you could go a little bit more. Having those bars there makes you want more. Like I know Avatar is in the full screen and I'm really, really looking forward to that next week. That to me is the only drawback to Alita. It's, I don't know if it's as good as Avatar. Maybe it, I haven't seen Avatar in 3D yet, but I remember it from the theaters. I'm very much looking forward to it. I know it's full screen. You know, I think that might go over the edge. Alita Battle Angel is a great story. 3D, 4K, 1080p. I really enjoyed the story. I know Avatar is a little long. I enjoyed the Avatar story as well, but it's a longer movie. It doesn't get as much replays with me because it is so daunting. It is so long, but I did find it entertaining. So I'm looking forward to see what the 3D experience is like with that one. But I think I wish more 3D movies. For instance, I ordered, Infinity War in 3D. So that should be in any day now. And I know they shot that in IMAX and they shot that on full screen, but the 3D version isn't in the full screen. So those versions exist. They're just not giving them to us, I should say. And what surprises me about Alita is it's produced by James Cameron, and he's a huge proponent of the, you know, 16:9 using up the full screen. I think I even talked about it on this podcast back when he shot The Abyss, and when he shoots his movies, he shoots in the full screen, knowing that this would go to VHS. And like The Abyss was going to go to VHS, so he wanted it to be able to fill the full TV screen without cropping. So he actually shot higher, like with that aspect ratio in mind. And then when it went to the theaters, he cropped the bottoms and tops off. So when you actually saw the full screen on a VHS tape, he showed you the full screen. That's what he actually shot. Very similar to how they shot Endgame and Infinity War, I believe. So when you see that with the black bars, when you see it in IMAX, I've saw the demo where they just move the black bars. There's just more information up there. There's more picture. It surprises me that James Cameron did that with, or was a part of Alita, and it still didn't come out with a full screen transfer for, especially for 3D, where he did Avatar and that is in full screen. So, but that's just a nitpick. I mean, it is still a great, great 3D experience. Really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to more 3D experiences, to be honest. I'm dabbling here and there, like I said last week, and I'm probably going to be doing a 3D movie a week, and I'm having so much fun with it. All right. The last movie I'm going to talk about this week is Brightburn. My buddy and I did this movie for our other podcast where we reviewed the movie. I really, really enjoyed the movie itself, and can hear that over at our Brightside Chat podcast where we talk comics and movies that are based on comics. But anyways, so aside from just enjoying the movie itself, I had to watch this movie a second time. I enjoyed the movie so much, but the sound in this movie is, dare I say, reference level from beginning to end. I really, really enjoyed it. The opening scene, you come in and it's the parents talking about having a child, and then it's a jump scene. It boom, there's a crash outside and you're in. It just grabs you. It's a big, deep bass jump scene. Crystal clear. Really, really well done. But all things being equal, we've had that happen before. I've seen that before. Where this movie sets itself apart, I thought, was the utilization of the discrete surround channels. There was so much discrete sound in this movie. And actually, I shouldn't say the surround channels. I should just say the discrete channels. Because there were moments where they used the front of the stage where it was as crystal clear on one side as it was to the other, to the center. There's a scene where the little girl, or young girl, I should say, is looking at her computer and the sound is coming from her computer. And it is crystal clear out of the right channel. And as it shifts, as she walks over to it and it shifts to the center channel, this is where you need to have matching center and right and left speakers, because there's no distinction in change of sound. You don't even hear the pan. You don't hear the, like, where it goes from one speaker to the next. It's almost floating in between them. It is so good, and they did such a good job mixing this. I really, really was impressed. The overhead channels were utilized throughout the movie, even in just like some of the subtle scenes. And I think that's one of the things that makes this movie set itself apart for me, is that it's a horror movie. And everybody knows that in a horror movie, when it gets really quiet, something bad's about to happen. And they really, really nailed it on this one, where there were subtle little sounds going off. If he was, you know, the characters were in the barn and you could hear the creaking or the noises, the ambient noises, the chickens, and you'd hear them off to one side or overhead. There was one scene, I think it was rain and stuff, you could hear it overhead. swirling winds, just breezes, not even heavy winds, swirling winds going around the room. The noises that Brandon was hearing from the ship and how they circled the room left to right, round, actually not even left to right, literally around the room in a count. One scene was was a counterclockwise motion all the way around the room. The overheads were engaged on that. There was just so much stuff. It's hard to pin down any particular scene. I guess for sound, you know, this new podcast, I'm coming up with new things. My highest rating that I can give a movie is going to be called an eyes closed movie. And I had mentioned this before in an earlier podcast. Sometimes I like to sit there and watch scenes and listen to scenes with my eyes closed. This happens to be a horror movie. I'm not watching it with my eyes closed because it's a horror movie. But the sound is so good that when you close your eyes and just watch some of these scenes, you can feel it. You can hear the distinct sounds coming from the different places in the room. It just really is so much fun. The scene when he's trying to get the lawnmower started. Brandon, that is. Brandon's trying to start the lawnmower, and we've all been there. It won't start. You're pulling, and it won't start. And he gets really frustrated, and he pulls it so hard, you can actually hear that he starts the mower. It starts, but he starts the mower, pulls it so hard that he throws it, but it comes up, the noise from the mower starting comes up from behind you, goes over your head, and then he throws it, and you can hear the noise of the mower going away, but it's actually going away past the screen. And the way that they mixed that sound was really cool. It was like the mower was in front of you. It disappears, but you can hear the noise of the mower going behind you, up over your head, and then off in the distance in front of you now. It was a really, really good scene. Another scene that I thought was unique to this movie was when Brandon showed up at his aunt's house towards the end of the movie, and he's knocking at the door, and it is a loud knock, like deep bass, loud knock at the door. Very ominous. That's what they're going for here, because he's, spoiler, about to kill her. But what makes this unique was that you were looking at the aunt and the door was behind you on your right side, and it was as loud and deep bass and as clear of a sound. Like you had I don't have full channel speakers all around the room, but your rear channels, which are typically smaller speakers like mine, sounded like I had full channel speakers back there. The way they mixed this, it sounded so good. And there were two different sets of knocks, and it was very clear, really impressive, kind of what makes having all this so much fun. The final scene when Braden's back at his house and the police show up, that's a very good scene. A lot of left to right sounds, overhead sounds, filling the room sounds, him toying with people. You hear noises on your left. You hear noises on your right. It really is like it engaged the entire room. Him just toying with people before he killed them. When he kills the sheriff, it goes from left to right, right across the room. But what makes this scene so much fun is that he's out of sight, but you hear where he is, and he's like swooping around, and you're here, and it would be scary in real life if that's what you were dealing with, and you hear this noise and you're trying to figure out where he's going to come from. It really set that mood of like fear. And that's what he's doing with these people. He doesn't have to do this. He could just show up and kill them, but he's toying with them. And the way they portrayed that, using the sound all around the room, this is why I think this movie, it really sets itself apart from other movies and other sound mixes. The sound in this movie, as all movies, but really, really well done in this movie, really is a character unto itself. The picture on the 4K was really good. Really, really good. There was a particular moment that I thought was, you could feel the warmth of the sun. It was so bright. The colors were so nice. It was at the beginning of the movie. They had been indoors most of the movie, and you didn't notice it. It's just, you're looking at watching a movie. It seems normal. And then all of a sudden, I think it was a father-son scene outside, and you could feel the warmth on them. And it really struck me. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like the warmer colors reflecting off of their shirts. And I really kind of jumped out at me just that one scene. So I was like, the picture's really good. The darks are really nice in this. But for me, the sound in this movie stole the show. It was so good. So good. All right. That's week one of 2020. That was a fun week. I had a really good time. I don't know what I'm going to do next week yet. I don't know if I'm going to be streaming anything. I was lucky this week to have two streaming shows to watch that were that good. I know I'm going to be doing more 3D. And we'll see what else we come up with. But the last thing I'd like to do is name a couple notable scenes from the week. That's what will be in the show notes going forward. We'll do whatever strikes me at the end of the week that really stuck out in my mind. That's what will go in the show notes, and we'll probably be calling those the reference level, because if it sticks with me all week by the time I record the closing to this, it's a pretty good scene, I think, in my book. So you guys let me know. Do you have any notable scenes? Just email me, tweet at me, and let me know. But my notable scenes for week one of 2020, I'm going to have to go with that end scene in Brightburn when the police show up. That really, really blew me away. That scene alone is what made me want to go back and watch the entire movie. That was a lot of fun. That scene comes at 1 hour, 15 minutes, and 8 seconds. That's pretty much right when the police cars show up. If you go back a little bit, a few seconds, maybe 10 or 20 seconds before that, there's a pretty good left-to-right scene as well. But that scene alone, it's probably about a minute long of where it really, really is like stuff going on all around you. That was really good. And then the other scene this week will be scene from Dracula. It sounds inconsequential, but it was so good. And for streaming services, as I said earlier, they're really, really shining in the sound department. And this scene in Dracula comes at pretty much just go right to the 10-minute mark. Even if you haven't seen it, if you have a good, you don't even need a full surround system for this one. Just have the front channels. If you have front, left, and right, and a center channel, even if you have a good sound bar, you'll probably be able to pick this up. This scene, it's at the 10-minute mark of the show. If you haven't seen the show, just go to this scene. It won't spoil anything or anything like that. 10 minutes into the first episode, you have Dracula and his guest, the lawyer, are sitting at a really long table. Like, you've seen these in movies, really long tables inside of a castle. And they're sitting at either end of it. And when they talk, it's like when you're looking at the character that's talking, he's on screen, the sound is coming from the center channel. But the character that's at the other end of the table, depending on which character you're looking at, say you're looking at the character, if you're looking at the table, there's a character on the left and a character on the right. If the center channel is got the character that's on the right, the left channel is going to sound like the character is ways away. It sounds so good, and the panning that they do is so good in this scene. It's so much fun. Like I said, you don't even need a full surround system. If you just have a left and a right channel, it's really going to show it off. And that's where I think streaming service and Netflix in particular is really showing off their stuff. And if you're just watching this on a regular TV you're not listening to this podcast anyway, so I don't know why I'm even saying that. It is such a good scene. It's definitely a reference scene. I will be using this scene just for fun to be like, hey, come here and see and listen to this. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that was a great, great scene. So that's all I got for this week. That's all that really jumped out, that sticks out in my head. Love the 3D, but there's no particular scenes. That's just like the movie itself. So that's it for this week. Hope everybody enjoyed it. I will be back next week with more stuff that goes on inside my theater, looking at the bright side of it. Hope everybody has fun. Have a great week. Go push play. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.